Hello and welcome to episode 2 of our Doctor Who commentary podcast, which we've decided to call COGS, Kids of Gallifrey. Joining Ian Winterton, the host of Cutaway Comics The Bunker, are two other Doctor Who fan dads, Richard and Tony. But most importantly, the real inspiration for this spin-off pod are the youngsters, the mini Whovians, the Bunker Babies, the Who Kids on the Block, who will be the real hosts of this pod. Ian's son, Elliot, Richard's daughter, known on Twitter as Little Who Girl, Rachel.
I'm 8 years old and I'm called Rachel.
You are. And oldest and loudest, the big brother of the trio, we have Tiny Time Lord. Tony's 14-year-old son, Cooper. Hello.
Hello. I'm Cooper. I'm 14.
You're 14.
Yeah.
Same as Elliot's middle brother. She's 14 as well. After Rachel's choice of The Curse of Peladon, we now move on to Cooper's choice, which is, Cooper, what is it?
It's Revenge of the Cybermen.
Amazing. Weirdly considered the worst of the season, but considering the season it's from, it's Hinchcliffe's first season. It's the, I would say, the best season ever. Well, it's certainly up there, depending what flavour who you like. It's definitely an amazing season. And we'll see how we feel of it. But why did you choose this, Cooper?
It's mainly my dad's favourite Cyberman story. And I just wanted to watch it again because I haven't seen it in a long time. And yeah, that's basically it.
Wow. And it's, we'll see what Elliot thinks of it as we go along. But again, Elliot's not as experienced in Classic Who as you two. So I think it was, will this be your first ever Tom Baker you've watched all the way through?
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be. Seems mad. But yeah, because he's watched lots and lots of bits of Tom Baker. And whole episodes, but probably not whole adventures. Because Genesis of the Daleks was a bit too much to watch it all, so we skipped 3 episodes in.
Episode of it, Tom Baker's last adventure.
Yeah, you really got into Logopolis's last episode.
And then I watched like the titles and like 2 seconds of the Fifth Doctor first.
That's true. Yeah, you did. So. We will start our commentary. So we're doing the first 2 episodes today, tonight, and then the next lot, another episode. So has everyone got them open? And on silent for copyright reasons.
Yeah.
Subtitles on. So it's a shame, really, because it means the one thing we can't talk about is the wicky-wacky music, which this episode does have some quite you guys will know who's the composer for this one.
I never
know stuff like that to do with music.
Yeah, no.
It's always the last thing I think about, but some people it's the first thing they think about.
Is
but
it anyway, Dudley Simpson.
It is Dudley Simpson for this one. Yeah, yeah.
That's one, Dad.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing.
Good idea.
What?
Instead of watching it, saw the commentary without subtitles on and the music on. So we don't get too depressed that we can't talk about the music. We just don't watch it with the music.
Well, yeah, that's what we're doing. Yeah. We're watching it with the sound down.
Yeah, but like, oh, so when we're watching it, saw the commentary.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, that's true. But anyway, people using this as an actual commentary, we'll have it with the sound down as well, because otherwise you won't be able to hear the commentary. So it's an imperfect form, the commentary. So let's get into it. Are you ready? We'll do what we did last time. We'll do 3, 2, 1, and we'll press play when
just
I say
quickly.
Down. Yes.
Just quickly. We've got the complete history right here, and it says the incidental music is by Carey Blyton.
Ooh.
Ooh. Wow. And so not Dudley.
Oh.
And uncredited additional music by Peter Howell.
Oh, the good old Peter Howell.
Interesting.
Amazing. Well, that's cool. Yeah, it's a definite gap in my knowledge, the music.
Yeah.
Some people it's their first thing. Same with costumes. Yeah. Some people really know all the costumes and it's never been the side of everyone likes a different thing, don't they? I'm always about the stories and
wow,
the ins and outs.
Wow.
But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But
Wow.
anyway, let's get on with it.
Wow.
So Elliot's just watching the Audacity. So he's saying wow because he watches the spike pop up. But on the on our recording thing. But we're off that now. So it's still recording in the background. Right. So is everyone ready?
I'm ready.
Three, two, one, press play now. Woo, Doctor Who theme, it says. And I was saying to Elliot, what do you think of these titles? Because to me they're the best, but that might be because I was a child. What do you think of these titles, Rachel?
I think they're quite good, and I really like it.
Yeah, they're amazing. So here they are. You guys know, I'm sure. Why are they spinning in space as we open this episode? Oh, because of the time ring. So Elliot, I told him
Timing.
earlier, the time ring from Genesis to Daleks is spinning them back to Nerva Beacon.
And now they're on a plane in space that's very high tech on the inside.
Yeah.
Except it isn't. It's some World War II.
Yeah. Well, it's that's for so yeah, there's the wonderful Sarah Jane. Where does Sarah Jane rank in your list of companions, Cooper and Rachel?
Oh, sorry,
Like
Rachel.
the top five.
The top five, yeah, she is amazing. Have you watched a lot of Sarah Jane Adventures, Rachel?
And I really like enjoy them, but so I was very sad when they ended.
Yeah. Well, it's yeah, especially yeah, because it was for a very sad reason, wasn't it? Wonderful Liz Slade, and I've never met her, but I know lots of people that have, and she was marvelous by all accounts. But yeah, so it's quite a gory episode, this, isn't it? As we've got our first dead body in the first 30 seconds. Little sign of putrefaction,
There's a
says
lot of
Harry the
people.
Doctor. There are a lot of dead people in this episode, aren't there?
There is.
It's also weird how the Sarah Jane adventures are like, Doctor Who's like 5-year-old, and then Torchwood is like adult Doctor
Yeah, well, I
Who.
don't think Sarah
Yeah.
Jane's ready for 5-year-olds.
It's just like young children.
Yeah, it's.
Doctor Who's like.
I think the youngest people that could watch the Sarah Jane Adventures are probably five.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously, lots of grown-ups watched it as well because of Doctor Who. But just generally, it was for sort of 5 to 12, I guess. Whereas Doctor Who's maybe slightly older, only just though.
Torchwood has little swearing in it.
Yeah, I was never a fan of Torchwood. Have you? I take it Rachel's not watched Torchwood.
Not yet, no.
No,
Saving that one.
it's I, you know, even though it was individual episodes were good, I never approved of the fact that there's, and now you see it for all its glory, it's on the Hooniverse page on the iPlayer, and it's a bit, well, you can't leave your child loose with this page because they might start watching Torchwood. And it's yeah, it's a strange decision to make a sweary, violent Torchwood that children shouldn't watch, for my money. But this is the era, obviously, we're watching Philip Hinchcliffe, where it did get a lot of complaints for being a bit too scary. But I think it's just the right level of scary. Do you find this scary, Rachel?
Some of them I do, but some of them I really enjoy.
Yeah, but even when they're scary, are they enjoyable? Or are there some that you've had to like not stop watching?
Yeah, and hide behind a pillow.
Oh no. Well, that's half the fun, isn't it? That's half the fun. Have you watched Talons of Weng Chiang? Because that's a scary one, I think.
I think I have, I can't remember, but I think
Yeah.
I.
Yeah, the one with the giant rat and and Leela in Victorian times. It's a very scary one, I think. But and the Zygons always scared me. But we're on the commentary here, so we've got, as Elliot was saying, we've got World War II style it's World War II era in space, isn't it? It's radars and people being stiff upper lip.
And Morse code.
And Morse code later on, yeah. So it sort of reflects the age of the people that were sort of making it. And have you always noticed in Doctor Who in the 70s, 60s and 70s, so often the military are all fine and good, and the bad guy is usually some horrible civilian, as is the case here. So Hellman here, who I think he's even dressed like a German U-boat captain.
Yeah.
So I think he's sort of, what do you say, coded as a bad guy for the era.
The subtitle said he sighs when the captain sighs, but it was in capitals for some reason.
Yeah, well, he's sighing in capitals. It was a really big sigh. But yeah. And he looks like Tony Blackburn. You guys probably don't know, but he's not Tony Blackburn.
He looks like a
room full of dead bodies. We don't often get that in modern Doctor Who. Corridors of dead bodies. Elliot was going on about this looking like Minecraft.
Don't ask.
Do you do Minecraft, you two, Cooper and Rachel?
I do. I build a lot of TARDISes.
You built a lot of TARDISes?
I hear it, but I don't play it.
Oh, I see. Well, you sometimes watch it, or you hear it. Have you got siblings that play it?
No, I hear it at school a lot.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's popular. It's very popular. Was it Minecraft or Roblox that this reminded you of?
It's just a
suitable
building, like a space station.
Yeah, there's a space station.
Just like that.
Yeah.
Like, stuff underneath.
Wonder if you accidentally wandered into a Doctor Who fan's Minecraft.
I wasn't.
No.
Could be mine.
Yeah. So this is all timey-wimey, as we'd say now, where they've gone back in time before the TARDIS has arrived.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
That's true, yeah. To give it its technical name. But yeah.
Yeah. The best thing in Doctor Who.
I do love this TARDIS team. Even though poor old Harry was brought in because they thought they were gonna have a much older doctor.
Mm.
And then they sort of said he didn't really fit, but I think it was fine. What's that?
A dead body.
And creeping out from behind of it.
It's a
metal worm.
A cybermat. Terrifying.
Yes. It scares cats because it's under mats. Cybermen under mats make cybermats.
So, they never had cyber cats, did they? To sit on the cybermats.
That would be really cool.
I didn't really like the cybermats because I'm used to the newer ones and it looked too long.
Yeah, I'm weirdly used to the even older ones, even though it's a lot of time before I was born. But
the two
cybermats from were they from which from the Patrick Troughton, were they?
I think it was Tomb of the Cybermen.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Tomb of the Cybermen. Yeah, and so I've had that image in my head since I was a little kid.
And Moonbase.
So it seems weird that they're not cybermats, but yeah, and the Moonbase.
That is a weird.
But the whole What do you think of the Cybermen, like gold being deadly to Cybermen?
I think it's useful and unuseful because gold costs a lot and it's very rare to find it. But if there was an episode where there was mines and Cybermen were in there, it would be quite useful because the gold might be in the mines and then you could just get rid of them.
Yeah. Yeah, and here we've got Voga, which is an asteroid almost made completely of gold, isn't it?
Mm.
Which it never made a lot of sense. I know a lot of Doctor Who doesn't really make sense, but a lot of sense that Cybermen was fatal to gold was fatal to Cybermen. Has there ever been an explanation why? Is it just because
convenient?
Yes.
It makes sense.
I've just got input. It clogs up their chest units.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
But what why gold? Why can't you just like chuck some ash at them?
Because they're silver. they're metal.
Yeah.
Silver, whatever.
Yeah. No, it's a lovely piece of old fashioned science fiction, but strangely that's the one thing they didn't bring back.
He could have lost the arm when he put it through the hole to try and open the door. And it was funny when Sarah Jane helped his arm out and then he looked at Harry like this.
Yeah.
And he said, what have I done now?
Yeah, no, it's lovely that bit with the door, isn't it? It's all three of them working together.
So once.
Well, no, it's just arguing. It's really well written because sometimes you get TARDIS teams and the writers haven't really done a very good job, and sometimes you do just get people standing around, like cough cough the Peter Davison eras. I think they worked out. I think Janet Fielding, who plays Tegan, worked out that her and Nyssa, Sarah Sutton, they'd gone like three episodes of barely their characters talking to each other. Like, because they'd hardly said a word to each other in the script because it was so crowded.
It's but, the skill of Rassilon.
I know this is one of the things they've just sort of at the time they went, well, nobody's going to watch this again, are they? It's just on telly. But yeah, so they used. So if you recognise that in the background, Rachel, that's the seal of Rassilon they use in Gallifrey. So now it would be a huge big, oh my God, there's something to do with Gallifrey. But back then it was like, well, we just got something out of the cupboard, the Doctor Who cupboard, and we're going to stick it on the wall again.
It's kind of funny when Mandy would roll the alien things, looked at the camera and said, why?
Yeah. Yeah. What did we think of the Vogans then as aliens?
People were birds.
Very, very bald and big eyebrows.
Yeah, yeah. It's male pattern balding seems to be a problem on Voga. And they all look like a sort of Father Christmas after an allergic reaction.
I guess you could say they're pretty vulgar.
Pretty vulgar. I guess you could. See, Cooper's doing a dad joke now. He just rolled his eyes. Oh, and here we have man with a 1940s tash being attacked
by a
cyber mat.
Why does his moustache look like it does?
It doesn't really, because it's massive. It doesn't look like Hitler's moustache at all.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it looks like Hitler's moustache before he had his famous moustache. But anyway, he looks like the bloke who off the Titanic movie, you know, the one who's in charge.
Should we be mentioning Hitler?
I don't. Well, we can mention Hitler. We just put him in the cupboard, but it's fine. But anyway, but I think this is a brilliant piece of. This was in the 70s. They could imagine space travel. They could imagine all and time travel, but we definitely will still be using tape to record radio signals.
And box files, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I love that sort of trying to imagine technology of the future is always where it falls down, but it's kind of half the charm, isn't it?
I've got a question. Why are Esther Gillian's on here?
He is, what's his official title? He's a scientist anyway. And that's when he went down to Voga, that's when he got contacted to do stuff for the Cybermen. So here we have the Doctor, Harry, and Sarah Jane doing the usual Doctor Who thing of surrendering and putting their hands up in the air. That happens so many episodes, doesn't it? Men with guns. And they're going, we come in peace. Now, do you think the space plague, as they think it is at this point, looks pretty brilliant and looks pretty gross.
Very good practical effects.
Yeah.
The veins look like they don't look normal and they're a bit thicker because they're like red instead of blue.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And it does, it does look really nasty and infected. Yeah, and so Kelman's obviously trying to get the Doctor killed here.
Yeah.
And doesn't take long before they before they decide to find out Kelman's a baddie. But it's, the idea of a space plague is, they seem to have space plagues a lot in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But especially when Terry Nation's writing. But but in this case, it's a Jerry Davis script. And it turns out not to be a space plague, does it? So, but yeah, but this is brilliant stuff with the Fourth Doctor, like trying to save the man.
Yeah.
And talking his way into letting people trust him and Sarah and Harry. And Harry being a doctor, coming in useful in nearly every episode.
The plague.
Yeah.
It's like someone spilled tomato sauce in their veins.
I suppose so. I suppose that would be pretty bad though. If you had tomato sauce in your veins. Yeah. So
like the brain.
Now,
the
brain. This bit I find hilarious because this is more stuff that's a bit like World War II. Because like spies and things from the 1940s behind enemy lines and things would fit together components from things that were hidden in their everyday items. So this is a very sort of World War II kind of setup for this man on a space station. But it's imagine having a screen that small.
Did you know that device disguised as a hairbrush is actually from Live and Let Die?
Oh. I did not know that.
What is Live and Let Die?
Live and Let Die is a really good James Bond film.
Oh, James Bond.
So, yeah, so...
There's very famous card crashing into buildings and exploding.
Yeah, James Bond does crash his car into buildings a lot.
I guess that.
It must be a very literate and inquisitive virus. So the doctor pointing out that this so-called virus is actually probably not a virus. And
it's probably the brain eating tomato pasta.
So this is, I think this is quite graphic and upsetting for little kids, I would imagine. Those veins and a man burning up, especially because he does actually die, doesn't he?
Ah, yes.
When the veins stopped when he was dead, they went all black, like they've gone out or something.
Yeah.
Like a fire.
Yeah, like they've gone rotten. Or they've gone cold
now
after burning him up. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a exographer. That's Kelman's name. So he's studying Jupiter. And that's... So now we're getting all the story about Voga, which is obviously a made-up thing.
They just... 13? Well, that's bad. 13, an unlucky number.
Yeah. So, it's Voga they're finding out. And the doctor, this is the sort of stuff a doctor knows something about Voga. And obviously, transmat is the great, great Doctor Who invention word, sort of their word for teleport, which... I believe Jerry Davis and Kit Pedler first used in one of their Cyberman stories. Probably the moon base. Oh no, was it Seeds of Death? I'm talking rubbish, aren't I? It's because those Base Under Siege stories are so similar. Seeds of Death and Moon Base.
I like his tiny telephone. Yeah.
And now he's got his if I was a spy, I don't know if I'd keep all my spying communication stuff in a drawer where no one could find that.
They actually are disguised, so they look like it, because I think the one it's really big looks like a type fighter.
Oh, I suppose so. So yeah, you might not guess that it's, and Morse code is very old fashioned. But it's weird because the armed forces now, because technology is so good, they don't get taught Morse code anymore.
Oh no.
And here we see our Cybermen for the first time.
Doctor.
What do we think of this generation of Cybermen?
I think their ship looks like the front of a plane. Stuff's on like a massive box with many things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Well, what do we think of this design of Cybermen?
I like the Cybermen. Father's giving them a thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think... I like this lot more than the 80s Cybermen, I must admit.
Yeah. I think the The front of the plane makes the outer bit behind it look like a duck.
Oh yeah. That's true. So everyone's about to I'm sometimes wondering if your friend is quite right in the head.
A
Sarah Jane
rat.
being loyal there.
A rat problem.
Yeah. If he
Get
smelled
me
a rat, he'll find
exterminated.
one.
Instead,
Yeah.
didn't find a rat. He found a mat
Well,
that is made of cyber.
a cyber mat, a cyber rat.
A cyber mat, a cyber rat. That's
Yeah.
what I'm saying.
So he's going to wander into Kelman's quarters,
And then
getting ready for the
getting ready to be
cliffhanger.
electrocuted.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Wait, why did the electric go between his two shoes instead of just electrocuting him? Like, what are his shoes made of?
He's playing the dangerous game of
He
defense,
is.
father.
And he makes a mistake here, doesn't he?
He
Because he
press.
doesn't put the lid back on it.
He doesn't put the lid back on it, and he electrocutes the floor because that
And now,
makes total sense.
yeah. So, oh,
Gold
gold.
nuggets.
Open.
How could he
Wait,
have
why can't
found
he just use
that?
that gold when the Cybermen come later?
Yeah.
Come on, they're little Cybermen and they've
Yeah.
made them gold.
So this is all quite groovy. I also think he looks a little bit like Philip Hinchcliffe. Hinchcliffe has been seen many times with a polo
Seen
neck on.
from the War Games.
Yeah.
He looks like somebody from the War
So
Games.
what do we think about Kelman being quite elaborate with his with what he decides to do to the doctor now? Could just shoot him, but he decides to electrify the floor. And I don't know why.
Maybe because he can't, because if the doctor wanted to know what he was doing, he would have to get up from under the bed, and then he would know the
Uh-oh.
doctor is actually there.
Oh,
So
and he's electrocuted and he jumps up. That's very slow electricity.
what? Now he's playing Floor is Lava.
Yeah, that's true. So we've yeah, so that poor man didn't make it. He died. Which it seems quite, I think it's quite good though, because when Sarah Jane gets it, you realize quite how dangerous the virus is.
Yeah,
But
it's
the
dangerous.
and this is cool. Don't do that at home, kids.
Oh,
Swinging, you're not swinging on your wardrobe door. It will break.
why?
IKEA wardrobes aren't designed for people hanging on them.
If a superhero man can do it, then I can.
Oh, but that's a space wardrobe. They're tougher.
They're tougher, who knows?
Oh, and there's a metallic squeaking sound.
Wait, Sarah Jane, stop. Look at the camera that is clearly right in
I love the
front of you.
subtitles, coughing and rapid breathing. Rapid breathing. And so, yeah, this bit is weird. Com-Opt
Rapid
magazines, which
breathing.
departed from the ship's cell in the constellation of Xeris X20. What is she watching?
Sarah, what? Stop watching television.
Yeah, stop
Yeah.
watching.
Bag!
And
Ah!
instead of running and trying to, instead of running, she stands still.
Ah! So that was a cliffhanger, and it's one of the few cliffhangers that doesn't involve the doctor.
Ah.
It kind of does, but that's the
No,
cliffhanger
but
before the cliffhanger before the
yeah,
cliffhanger.
so obviously the doctor's in danger, but quite often that's quite a rare thing. There's like a list of them. Most of the time, the doctor's involved in the cliffhanger in some way. So
Some way.
yeah. But yeah, so are we all right to just carry on as it goes?
I'm still hungry.
You're still hungry?
Yeah.
You did that last time. So we'll probably stop and go and have a very quick producer Philip Hinchcliffe. So that is the end of part one.
Part.
And we will go on to part two after this commercial break.
You cool. can buy cutaway comics and
I know I put an them. I put an advert in the middle, you see.
If you read cutaway comics, you can, you know, like have fun and stuff. So I don't know, I'm not I didn't plan this ad. But still you can have like paid for this, you know.
The DNA of Doctor Who, the Philip Hinchcliffe years, edited by Gary Russell.
Doing this book with Philip Hinchcliffe, I'm editing it, but the idea spurred on originally from Philip.
It's a collection of essays. Each one is on one of my stories, and it'll be opinions, views, maybe critical opinions. I've spoken to people, well, over many hours, so they've kind of got my views on things now as much as I can remember it, but I think there'll be a lot of new stuff in it.
Everyone's individual essays are very unique and very different, and then each of them is prefaced by a little piece by Philip, and these things have been absolute joys as they come in because they're not what we expected, they're so much better.
I recorded my thoughts about the programme a long time ago, and fortunately still had those, so they have provided, you know, background for a lot of the writers.
He's almost answering the previous 30 years worth of articles and reviews that have been written. It's, again, it's interesting because it's all new material and it's stuff Philip hasn't said before.
It's going to be a different kind of book that's been written, I think, about Doctor Who.
Classic Doctor Who, new perspectives. From Roundel Books and Cutaway Comics, out in August 2024. See cutawaycomics.co.uk for more details. Hello and welcome back. We're about to do episode 2 of Revenge of the Cybermen.
Oh, so bye.
Cutaway. So, guys.
Doctor.
Elliot. Don't be so commercial. Yes, bye, Cutaway Comics. Where are we? So, go to your iPlayer. And when I say now, after a countdown, we will press play. So, press play, people at home, and Cooper and Rachel. In 3, 2, 1, press play now.
Oh. We're a bit later than those guys now.
Music Doctor Who theme.
Hurrah. Music Doctor Who theme, yes. Music and Doctor here comes Who the time theme. Tunnel again. So, we left last episode, we left the Doctor with an electrified floor and lots of dry ice filling up the room to choke him. And even worse, Sarah Jane Smith had a Cybermat get her neck, which means she's got the plague.
Oh, rat. She would have to have a cyber cat to protect her.
So here's the Doctor. We're doing a bit voice on monitor. And here comes the Cybermat.
Whoa!
I have red on the inside.
Well, because that's obviously where the poison is.
You know, if Sarah had read the script, she would know to avoid watching TV.
Well, yes. I think that's one reason why they put Sarah Jane in more jeopardy, because actually the Doctor gets out with a sonic screwdriver, which is a bit of a, if that was the main thing, it would be a bit, that was a bit of a false cliffhanger. But with this one, it's really serious, and he saved her, but killed the Cybermat, but she's got the plague. I bet an earlier version of the script, that was actually the cliffhanger, was the fact that all that happened. But then they realised it was a bit long. So having her attacked was good enough. But it's really good as a story that Sarah is in such danger. This doesn't often happen quite this much, does it?
No.
And we've already seen someone die really quickly from it.
I don't know what was on the telly that just struck the entire plague.
Yeah. Yeah. So, this is very geeky. Do you guys ever watch Star Trek?
He probably has.
Because, weirdly, a Star Trek quite recently, they used the teleport to get a plague out of people.
Mm.
And it's weird, but Doctor Who did it in 1976 or whenever it is, 74. The same thing they do with Sarah Jane here, they did on Star Trek not so long ago. So using the genetic, in fact, yeah, it was in the Picard one, I think. They did something weird with the taking things out or adding things in with the teleporter.
Hey, how did he get the saw to no longer be electric?
Well, I guess he just turned it off.
You could do that.
Well, I guess so. Yeah, so Kelman's in here.
He's got
his space Uzi.
Gun.
He's got a gun that's looks very much like a 20th century gun.
Yeah.
How did he turn it off if there was gas in the room and it was on the other side of the room?
I don't know. I don't think we're supposed to think too carefully about that.
Well, that's the same. Most
YouTubers.
But yes. So, here comes the captain.
When in doubt, knock on your enemy's doors.
This captain, I don't think he seems as much as a captain as like a really tired geography teacher. Like, oh, come on. I should have retired ages ago.
What, I've got
no,
an Uzi?
Then you wouldn't be...
Well, with an Uzi. Well, the way skills are going. But, yeah, we're back on Voga now with their Seal of Rassilon outfits.
Like, there's something really strange about these people. They're all, like, mythical with all their gold and stuff.
Yeah.
They have, like, a space rocket.
Well,
a really high-tech, clean-looking space rocket.
Well, no, but that's the Cybermen. They don't have a space rocket. They just live on this place full of gold, and they want everyone to leave them alone.
Yeah, I would definitely leave a planet full of gold alone.
They're kind of a bit...
Go to the planet of gold.
Yeah, they're kind of a bit like dwarves in Lord of the Rings or something, aren't they? Where they've just got lots of gold, and they live in the mines.
Where is he?
And the Kelman has disappeared.
Did they check under the bed? Because he might have been doing what the doctor did by hiding under the bed.
They're not very clever, those two, are they?
That's a very good point.
Yeah. So now the doctor's... I mean, the doctor's fixing a teleporter. Yeah. Massive flash. And the transmat is humming.
Has he done it?
So I think he's done it. They've just all disintegrated. Oh, dear.
Oh, well, end of the season.
Can you imagine if teleports were real? They'd just be terrifying. So, yeah, they've arrived. I like this cave set. It's it's a really good place for filming. And it's filmed really well as well.
Because you wouldn't have to go on car journeys.
And whatever he did, he set it just right, so the virus has now left her, and she's fine.
She's fine. But now she's stuck on an asteroid.
Well, the idea is that they're just gonna be beamed back.
But no, the doctor broke it.
Well, they it's just broken long enough for them to be captured. But it's a really good plot, this, you know. Except they have just decided to wander off from the transmat area anyway, which maybe is a bit silly. Yeah. But yeah, so Harry and Sarah going off together. It's pretty cool as well.
Wait.
I like the Doctor with two companions. It doesn't happen that often.
Have you watched Jodie Whittaker?
Yeah, but she's got three.
Yeah, she got that many companions.
Three's too many, but two.
In the end, she had like four.
Yeah. Yeah, she just ended up with a TARDIS full by the end, didn't she? Before regeneration.
Yeah. Second happens like the midpoint of the last series of David Tennant.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, they did end up with lots and lots of people. But yeah, what do we think of this bit here? For some reason, I really love them running down the tunnel, and there's a bloke who stops soon and then keeps running. It's a really nice shot. That's Tornet, says Harry.
Why aren't they running away?
Very, yeah.
Only once they get like 5 feet away from them,
yeah,
they get up to try and run. Not when they can see them from a distance and actually so, sense their own.
Kelman.
Surprise.
And the commander. But the geography teacher's actually playing a trick on him.
Yeah.
He comes back. Ah, they've got him.
Shooting a gun in that room because it might hit
and
one.
Then they just let go.
Yeah. Yeah, shooting guns in space stations is probably not a very good idea.
Only in rooms where they're on high-tech stuff. And and like, just in a... Basically in the bathroom.
Yeah, here come the...
We want to go on the little gold train. Choo-choo!
I mean, I want one.
Yeah!
If I was really like a gold train, I would be able to...
Shall I just get you a pony while I'm at it? I want a gold train.
No, I'd like to go train to sell it some money so I can buy more Lego sets.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that seems like a foolproof plan. If I had the money for the gold train, why don't we just go straight to the Lego buying bit?
Yeah.
Anyway, so Pantaleon Drive is what we're looking for now. Now, this bit's strange. Rachel, this bit is a bit scary. The doctor is really quite nasty in this bit, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, torture.
Torture, yes. He's
a small one. Because it's not torture, because he's not really hurting him.
No, but he's threatening him.
Yeah, that's what torture is.
Well, no, torture's actually hurting someone. But it's mind games. I think it's very on the line, though, for the doctor. But the thing is, people always forget the doctor's not a, you know, he's not a goody-goody. He is a goodie, but he's also, he's more...
He's also the Time Lord Victorious.
Yeah, he's more like a soldier sometimes.
Once a Dalek was the...
Here are the Cybermen standing... Cybermen must be so hard to direct because their voices are all the same. They hardly move and they all look the same.
Doctor!
Yeah. So, here we have more... Seals of Rassilon on the walls.
First time it was used.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Oh, I see. So it's they had this and then they decided it was a seal of Rassilon later. When it was the deadly assassin and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Think I'd know that. All these years. So yeah, I find these Vogans quite difficult to tell apart as well. Because, oh, look, it's the bold one with the beard.
I love the bold
beard. And then there's one with a cough.
Yeah.
But the best character is bold one with the beard.
Bold one with the beard.
Another great character is bold one with longer beard.
Yeah, that's true. But yes. But it does what Doctor Who does quite a lot, which is have a civil war, which actually feels quite convincing. They do that a lot in Doctor Who, I've noticed.
A civil war to civil war. Curse of Peladon was a civil war.
Yeah, it was true, actually, yeah. Yeah, so similar thing. What was the one I did the other day? The John Pertwee one with the... what's it called? Because it's the Armageddon. The one Colony in Space. Yeah, Colony in... Is it Colony in Space? Yeah.
One of those two.
Yeah, yeah. The one that's got a... The one that the book's called the Armageddon, no, the Doomsday Weapon. That's right. Yeah, yeah. Because we were a podcast going on about the book rather than the thing. But yeah. So we have. You can tell he's more superior because his beard is longer.
He also has a walk,
and he's got a stick.
Yes.
He's the only one who actually appears to be old, but all the others appear to be like in their 20s, just they have beards.
So 47 people have been killed. That's quite hardcore for a Doctor Who program.
But in the start, they said, you're doing the work of 50 men.
Well, they are, because...
49 people dead.
They're 47. Oh. And then there's like three of them left.
Well,
now only two. But yes. So this bit here is the bit where the doctor the Doctor really gets quite.
I like the look on Tom's face.
Yeah, but he's it shows Kelman for the coward he is. He doesn't take much for him to go, no, I'll do anything.
I haven't noticed that it's not red, so there's no poison in it anymore.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah.
So do you think the Doctor's bluffing?
Yeah. Because otherwise, if he had spotted its like mouth where the venom, I would know it was a fake because I would tell by the venom thing around his mouth.
Well, you should probably play the Rani then. When the Rani finally comes back, it should be Rachel. Because you're a cunning villain.
Rachel the Rani.
Yeah. And also, if the Vogans, they've got so much gold, but do they have to make their chains out of gold? Was that a good idea? Because, as Harry says, they're soft. Let's just smash it with a rock.
I'm great, Dalek leader. Because instead of sending the Daleks to Earth, I would send the Daleks to the sun to blow it up.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Does the planet explode or just lose all the heat?
But then, how do you mine the planet for all its minerals and everything? You just blow it up.
Yeah, and then the same to all the other solar systems in the universe, and both Daleks are the supreme rulers of the world of the universe. Hey, what happened to his walking stick?
Yeah.
There it is.
So here's Vorus. Here there are two leaders of the two factions.
Why are
about to go to war? Vorus and what's his name? Magwick.
Magwick. Mm-hmm. I like that name. Magwick. Magwick.
Yeah.
David Collins.
Yeah.
He said this is the same as Planet of Gold. It's actually the same as Asteroid.
Yeah, and you're a gambler with a mad thirst for power. That's what you call on-the-nose dialogue.
Based on our recent discovery that gold is soft, I don't think it makes a very good chair either.
No. No.
Yes, it makes a
Donald Trump would love Voga, wouldn't he? It looks like he's...
That would miss the T.
Yeah, or Saddam Hussein, various other insane people who worship gold.
They're like, I will want a lot of nukes.
I love this bit. How careful! This bit from Sarah Jane is brilliant. And he starts this bit of banter about her having fat ankles. It's quite funny.
So funny. Wait. I've got a question. There are so many different aliens, but most of them are human.
Yeah.
Most of them are like human based.
Yeah.
Like these people are bald people with beards. They resemble humans.
Yeah. So Rachel, I'm talking of companions. I was about to say, where does Sarah Jane come? But we've had a message from Katie Manning on Twitter. I noticed.
Oh.
Listening to the other episode.
Yeah.
That's online. So, are you going to see her when you go to Oldburn? Oldbourne?
Where's Oldbourne? Yeah.
Yeah. She's going to be there, is she? Oh, brilliant. We'll say hello and ask her if she's listened to this. And we'll listen to the episode that's up on Curse of Peladon. Yeah, because I think Joe Grant and Sarah Jane, I couldn't decide between them personally. They're both
so very well together.
Yeah.
Oh, really good.
That episode when Sarah Jane, when Joe Grant's in the Sarah Jane Adventures is just makes me cry. So good.
This would make a really good comic for you to write.
Well, maybe. But we can only write things that the BBC doesn't own, and they own nearly everything.
Everything.
As is only right, because it is their programme. To be honest,
like Paradise Towers,
because they don't own that.
They don't own that. Then how is it Doctor Who?
They, because the writer Stephen Wyatt still owns all the story ideas. So
why don't you make a series about Joe's cousin's daughter's best mate?
Because I think anything to do with Joe, Joe is copyright. But what we are doing is, have you heard of Irish Wild Thyme, Rachel? Which is, ask Katie about Irish Wild Thyme, because she's played, it's a character who sometimes meets the Doctor and sometimes doesn't, depending on whether she's been published by a BBC thing or not. But when it's the big Finnish versions, Katie plays her. So it's a whole new Doctor Who character that Katie plays.
Here comes the train.
And we're doing a comic of Irish Wild Thyme, and she looks like Katie in it because we have Katie's blessing. And if we, and when we do the audio versions, we're going to, whenever we get round to it, because things are very slow in the world of comics. But yeah, we most definitely will be, using Katie to reprise her part. You should listen to Irish Wild Thyme, Rachel, because it's Katie's absolutely brilliant.
I've listened to a couple of episodes.
Yeah, she's a brilliant character. She's kind of like a strange version of the Doctor.
Bad old Alton.
Instead of a police box, she has a London bus. And they say it's a London bus that's smaller on the inside. So, yeah, and it's a brilliant character. And Katie, I think, loves that as much as she loves Iris as much as she loves Joe Grant. Brilliant. So, yeah, ask her about Irish Wild Thyme. And I'll send you that comic, definitely, when it's printed. Because it's finished. This is the bit, for some reason, I love that bit where the guy stands for a moment in the corridor. It's just good direction. It's
good light.
Yeah. Here comes a cyber ship.
Oh, no. It is going
to. And then when a close-up, and it looks a lot like it's made of cardboard. No, they're missile tubes.
What did you say it looked like earlier? A fairy bottle.
Fairy liquid bottle.
In fact, I seem to remember Blue Peter making various Doctor Who's, but they always had a Doctor Who make every so often, and a fairy liquid bottle would quite often be a spaceship. So these caves are absolutely amazing. Wookie Is it Cheddar Hole. Gorge?
Wookie Hole.
Wookie Hole, yeah.
Fun fact, Elizabeth Sladen almost drowned in Wookie Hole.
Really?
It seems they know these caves off by heart.
Oh, in episode 3, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Why did they know? Why did they know the caves off by heart?
I'm going to the caves in the summer.
Oh, well, they're brilliant. Cheddar Gorge is absolutely gorgeous part of the world. But here they are. They're surrounded. Why don't they just finish us off? And then, luckily for them, there's a civil war.
Oh, crikey.
Civil war! Saw the second.
Personally, my favourite is old beard man with stick.
Oh, yeah.
He's my favourite.
Have they made figures of the Vogons? I'm sure they must have done at some point. Yes. All the different types of Vogon. I'm sure there's a big demand.
Bearbick card.
Yeah. Bearded man. That one at the back looks like one of the guys from Dad's Army, and the one next to him looks like one of the old guys from the Muppet Show.
So they look like puppets.
Well, yeah. They're very basic latex masks, aren't they? They really are. Not the best.
Basic.
That Doctor Who has ever seen. So.
Wait, couldn't we just get the gold Sharpie we have in this room right now?
Gold Sharpie?
Yeah, draw on a piece of paper on both sides, leaving no stray marks.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We could put on like cardboard so it looks like a box, and then sell it and say it's gold.
Yeah.
Absolutely, the police don't recognize.
I don't think people would be fooled by a piece of paper with gold pen.
Yeah, no.
It was real gold. Thin strip of gold. People would check the cardboard box. So the Cybermen are docking with Nerva Bacon. My favourite kind of bacon, Nerva Bacon. But
oh no, that it's going to be micro scale.
And it's weird because Cybermen, they can never decide whether Cybermen carry guns or not.
Do you think you could fool a Cyberman, say, like, if you had this, like, pencil case that was made out of cardboard or something, like paper, and you had yellow on it, could you fool it that it was gold?
Could do, yeah.
Yeah.
So you think the two soldiers are being blasted by the Cybermen? And you probably think they're probably dead, but...
Stunned.
But they probably are stunned because here the big giveaway that they're stunned is the Doctor's now being got.
Doctor!
No! And so Doctor Who ended. All resistance overcome. The bacon is ours. I love bacon.
I took away comics.
And that was the end of Doctor Who.
That was the end, yes. There was never another episode. No. So,
no revenge.
We will find out in episode 3 whether the Doctor dies or not. What do you reckon?
I think he dies.
Definitely.
He doesn't die.
And the rest of Doctor Who is going to be told you've cut away comics.
Oh, well, yeah.
No, but your comics are going to tell the rest of the
plug.
We should hope so. But yes, that was the end of episode 2. Thank you to Elliot, Rachel and Cooper and the two dads, well, the three dads, including me. but yes, so we will return with the final two episodes very shortly. So thank you, guys. That was absolutely brilliant. And I hope you had fun. And we'll I'll put these out another time. We'll fade out there so we don't need too much at the end.
Add this. Listen to Cutaway Comics. I mean, read Cutaway Comics.
Yeah. But also listen to Cutaway Comics.
Yeah.
Have you listened to our Omega with Brian Blessed?
Yes, I have.
He has.
So listen to that, Keeper. That's really good.
Will do.
Brian.
Brian Blessed.